This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Good Friday afternoon, everybody. Hello.
Well, hello.
Hope everybody's doing well today.
I know you are, Dana. The sun is shining.
The warm weather and the snow melt.
It's better than it was. That makes me happy.
It is very, very nice outside today compared to the rest of the week. I don't know what's going on in this studio, but it's hot. Again.
Oh, it is balmy and comfortable in here.
It's fabulous.
Toasty.
Somebody got Botox. Not Botox. What's it called?
Wrong part of the body. This is
still needles.
This is Acupuncture Friday, and I feel like a wet, soggy noodle right now.
Wow. Hello. Not safe to drive.
You say anything you want right now, and I'll just go, Okay.
Whoa.
Wow.
Whoa. Maybe I should do it like on a Monday. I don't know, but I love Acupuncture Fridays.
Is it expensive?
No. It's $65.
That's not bad.
No.
How long charge you? $65?
Yeah.
What do you pay?
I mean, I haven't gone yet because they told me it was more than $65.
Well,
you're not
Dana
Wright. This got weird real fast.
I think it's because I go every single week, Sam. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's more expensive if it's one and done. I don't know.
So how's everybody else's day
going?
Very good.
Yeah, doing good.
Very good.
Got Festivus Friday coming your way right after the 5 o'clock news. That is brought to you by Q39. Make sure you get your Q fixed today at Q39KC.com. Okay. Don't everybody
nothing.
Talk at once. What the hell, you three?
Did you go back and finish your Run, Do Not Walk about
yes.
Black Hawk Down?
We are almost done.
Okay.
I watched it all last night.
Oh, you watched all of it?
Oh, yeah. It was just less than 3 hours.
Yeah, we got another episode and a half in. I think we're finishing it up tonight. But, you know, here's the problem. I don't know where to go next. Oh, we have started Reacher. Okay, never mind. Reacher Season 3 just came out.
I just saw that. Yep.
So T's never seen Reacher at all, so we've started back on Reacher 1, and then we'll do Reacher 2, and then we'll do Reacher 3.
It's all right. Do you know the number one show right now in the world if you are in the medical field whatsoever? Remember I asked you about a week ago, is ER coming back? And it's not, but Noah Wiley of ER fame is now the much older, wiser emergency room doctor in charge of an ER in Pittsburgh. I believe it is called The Pit, P-I-T-T.
That's correct.
You will see it all over social, you guys. So finally last night, I was like, look, everyone says this is the number one show. And if you are in healthcare, they are saying it is an extremely accurate portrayal of what a very busy functioning ER looks like and the bureaucracy involved and insurance, like all of that stuff.
So it's nothing like the original ER.
Correct. We watched the first one. The acting is outstanding. The writing is outstanding. I think it's going to be very good.
And I know that the cop dramas that I really do enjoy, those stories have all been told. Haven't the ER stories basically all been told?
I don't know.
How many more diseases are there?
Well, yeah, there's only so many extreme ailments that we can diagnose.
How many times can somebody get shot in the torso?
Or say, clear! Like, that happened like six times in one episode, I'm not going to lie.
Okay, can the nurses and doctors?
Speaking of, well, how many times can we, you know, I don't know if we're going to have time.
This is not at this point, by the way, there is no McDreamy or McSteamy. It is a straight.
No, Wiley's good looking.
But I'm just saying there's no like. This is just a solid medical drama.
Speaking of number one shows on streaming services right now, I've talked about it a couple of times. I know Dan is a big fan of the show. Have either of you stepped into the Severance world yet?
And my daughter.
I am obsessed. I cannot wait to get home tonight to watch the new episode, season 2, episode 6. It is Friday night must-see TV. I never thought, after really never in my life caring about nightly must-see TV, that I would be one of these people.
That rushes home on a Friday night to watch this.
I cannot wait to go home and watch it.
It's funny you bring this up now, because my daughter comes over. You know, we do this little, you know, dinner with Sophie thing once a week. And she said to me the other night, how have you not watched Severance? She goes, I'm obsessed. I can't stop watching it. Absolutely, you have to start it right now. I remember going back, what was it, 2 years ago, Sam, and season one. I watched the first two, I think, by myself and was like, yeah, it's an interesting concept. And what she said was, get past two and you will never turn back.
Yeah, it makes your brain really, really uncomfortable because it is a very twisted depiction of kind of the life that we live.
The cubicle life, Scott.
Yeah, I mean, your life at work is different from your life at home. That's kind of the whole idea of the show, but they take it to an extreme.
Scott,
it'll blow your mind.
It'll blow your mind.
Like, the best way I can describe it is you come into work with all the people you know right here. Dana, Dan, the sports guys, Sam.
Okay.
And your work life is here, and you work, and then when you clock out and exit the door, you have no memory or understanding of what you do in this space at all. You could see me in the grocery store. You would have no idea who I was.
Then how do I know to return to that space the next day?
Because
you got a job at that facility.
You wanted to be separated.
Yeah.
And then when you go home, your home is a completely separate thing. And when you go to work, you don't know anything about home.
Yeah. Hang on. Is everybody like this or just me?
Everyone. Well, now we're getting into spoilers. If we really go any further than this description, we're getting into spoilers.
Okay, but if I go to my home and I have no recollection of the three of you, this is actually starting to sound good.
Wow.
Wow.
That one actually hurt a little bit. Wow.
It was a joke because I love.
I don't know if it was a joke or not.
If I go home and I have no recollection of my work or the three of you, how do I know once I'm home that at a certain hour I have to return to this world that I don't remember?
Just like you show up to any job that you clock into, you know that you need to be back at the office at, say, 9:05
tomorrow. So I do have some recollection of my job.
They call this, Scott, a Marxist show and caricature of the corporate world where the analogy is you are literally leaving your personal life at the door. And all you know is focusing on corporate culture while you're there.
Okay. And that's just part of it.
Yeah.
Your brain is literally severed.
It's a fantastic series. But you have to take time to watch it because it's a little slow moving and slow developing, especially in the first season.
Okay.
And great reveals, and it's astonishing.
Why would anyone want to separate their mind in half?
Well, that's a whole element of the show.
Yeah, but why would you want to do that?
I don't.
Trauma?
Maybe.
Well, but you have to return back to that trauma every day.
But you don't know it. Your other half doesn't know that.
But when somebody has a trauma in their personal life, for example, you know, I don't mean to get seedy, but like maybe they were molested as a child. They continue on with their life, but they've blocked that part out of their mind, right?
Yeah.
So they continue on with their work life, their personal life, their home life, maybe their spiritual life, whatever, but that one segment of their life has been completely blocked out. Their brain refuses to allow itself to think about that.
Give it a try.
But for a time, okay, you're able to, in a sense, escape from all of that. And yeah, you should give it a try when you have some time to calmly sit down and watch.
Yeah,
a very interesting show.
You know, we have the 48-hour rule, premise. Scott, which we don't really adhere to completely anymore. But it's sort of like the 48-hour rule, where you and I go home and we don't talk over the weekend. I don't think about you. You don't think about me. And then Monday it smacks you right back in the face at 2 o'clock.
Except for those 2 a.m. texts.
We all know that Rotten Tomatoes is not known to give very high scores to very many shows.
Right.
Severance has a 97%.
That's pretty good.
Wow.
It's
called
so
Severance
unique.
On Apple TV Plus.
It's so unique.
All right.
Okay. Well, I've got to get her caught up on Reacher 1 and 2. Then we're going to do Reacher 3, and then we will get into Severance.
So Reacher 3 is out?
I believe it is.
That's going to be more exciting. That's going to be more your pace.
Yes.
But
I
yes.
love Reacher.
More of a just grab a bag of popcorn and
yeah.
zone out and enjoy the
watch things
show.
Explode and mm-hmm. yeah.
Mm. Bad guys get punched.
Speaking of explosions, did you hear they found another World War II era grenade in someone's car today?
Car?
In a car, Scott.
Here?
In Blue Springs.
Huh.
I thought we had had this conversation multiple times. When you're cleaning out the attic, or you're cleaning out the garage, and you find something like that,
mm-hmm.
don't drive around with it. Don't call, like, don't take it to a police department.
Was it a live grenade?
Well, they don't know yet, Dan.
They haven't called the bomb squad yet.
Oh, no, downtown was completely blocked off today.
Typically, they are not live.
The Lee's Summit Police Department bomb squad responded and safely retrieved the grenade, confirming it to be a genuine World War II era grenade.
American, mm-hmm. or is this one of those long stem German
potato
grenades?
The word that
is important here is genuine.
Okay. Okay.
It shut down all of downtown Blue Springs.
Are you surprised? It's
no,
a grenade.
I'm surprised that people keep finding these and think, I'm going to go drive this around, shut down an entire downtown area.
Now, keep in mind, with downtown Blue Springs, we're talking like 3 or 4 city blocks. This isn't
well,
like
if you work or live there,
25
you're
square blocks.
Annoyed today, Sam.
Life is life, Sam. Life is life.
It kind of sounded like he said, "I mean, it's downtown Blue Springs."
Yeah, I mean, who cares of a couple
that's
of Blue Springs?
Sort of the way you sounded there, Sam.
It's not like it's a Lawrencian.
Please,
it's a Blue Springian.
I didn't say it.
Blue Springian.
Wow.
Blue Springsites.
Blue Springers?
You guys are horrible.
Oh, yes. Blue Springers.
913-586-7798. Festivus Friday coming your way right after the 5 o'clock news. That is brought to you by Q39. Get your Q fixed today at Q39KC.com. Okay, I am not a conspiracy theorist. Never have been, never will be.
But?
However, I think there is something that NASA is not telling us regarding this asteroid that may or may not strike the Earth in December of 2032. This story from the New York Post. NASA is plotting how to destroy the city killer asteroid
okay.
with a chance of hitting the Earth. Why would they be plotting to destroy it if the chances of it hitting the Earth are not higher than they're telling us? I'm not trying to panic anyone. I'm not trying to weird anybody out. But if we're going to go on some Armageddon cruise to this asteroid to get it off course, we're talking about billions and billions of dollars.
Well, it is a 1.5% chance. 1 in 67.
It's actually 3%. They've bumped it up.
We've gone all the way up to 2.8.
Now it's a 3.1%.
Oh, it's gone up even higher?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's gone from a 1.5 in December to a 3.1 in February.
So we can just shoot a rocket at it? I mean, we talked about the meth cannon yesterday. It could be like meth cannon, only we shoot fireworks at it and it explodes and then it doesn't hit Earth.
That'll do it.
How about that?
My conspiracy here is different than yours, Scott.
Okay.
you're thinking that they're not telling us that there's actually a real chance that this thing's going to hit, right?
Yeah.
I'm assuming.
Yep.
My conspiracy is that NASA just wants more money. They need to keep operating.
Hmm.
How do you do that?
Make well, up a meteor's
going to hit
a killer asteroid.
get a panic going in the United
it's
States.
It's going to hit in 7 years. You better keep funding. We need another 100 mil to keep looking at
gotta,
that asteroid.
We got to get those astronauts home somehow.
Mm-hmm. By the way, where are we on getting those two poor people back to the Earth?
They're just hanging out up there.
I thought it was supposed to be this month.
Couple of weeks, we think.
And what's the plan? Do we have a plan?
We're going to send up a rocket with two extra seats on it, although we've already done that four times. There's already been four
We're
other
gonna
rockets
slow down.
That have
you
gone
hop
there.
In.
They're going to hop in, and then they're going to come back.
And whose rocket are we using?
I'm pretty sure it's supposed to be one of the Dragon, SpaceX Dragon crew rockets, mm-hmm. but I'm not sure.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
We're certainly not using the Boeing Starliner. That didn't work.
Nope, let's not do that. That would be bad.
And when did they just push that rust bucket
Very
off of the Space Center?
Bad.
And
I'm telling you, the next time they want someone to raise their hand, you want to go up? No.
No, we're good.
No one is going to volunteer to do that.
Maybe it's time that we, and I know this would be putting our tail between our legs. Maybe it's time
to get back to the basics of love.
Well, it's always time for that.
I'm sorry, I love that song.
You want to go to Luckenbach, Texas?
I do.
You know, it's a town of like 10 people. It's very tiny.
That's why you go there to get back to the basics of love, Scott.
Hmm.
Just like Tucumcari. 10 more miles to Tucumcari.
Okay. Have the two of you been drinking?
Oh, I have not.
I just got acupuncture and it's Friday and I'm happy.
Maybe it's time that we what?
Even the city, get back to the basics of love. The city killer asteroid, it's just not my jam today, Scott.
Well, Dana, what is your jam?
Not that. I cannot worry after acupuncture about a city killing asteroid. And by the way, it wouldn't be city killing. It would immediately kill one city. And then the dust cloud from it would descend over this Earth. And then we'd all be dead in like 7 days.
So I lied. Luckenbach, Texas has a population of three. Three people. So when he says keeping up with the Jones, wouldn't that imply a population of at least four?
No. Scott, they're keeping up with the Joneses in their current locale. They are going back to Luckenbach.
So the one guy across the street is adding on to his house.
No, they are going back to Luckenbach from probably Dallas. I don't know, another bustling metropolitan area to get back to the basics of love.
Okay. Well, Luckenbach has three people.
Tucumcari, New Mexico has 5,000.
I'm glad we straightened all of that out.
And what was your point about the city killing asteroid?
I just can't go there. I don't. I can't.
How about Bigfoot?
We can talk about Bigfoot.
He's absolutely real.
Which, by the way, I watched that stupid show, was accidentally on the TV when I was in the kitchen the other day. That Chasing Bigfoot. There is not a dumber waste of oxygen on the planet than that show.
What's it on?
I don't even know. I just turned on the TV and it was on. People,
what's it called?
Chasing Bigfoot. People are intense, Scott, with straight faces, actually saying things like, well, we just need to wait until it gets just dark enough, and then we're going to go out with a guy wire, and we're going to look for tracks and other evidence that he's here. And I think they're being serious. I think they're crazy, but I think they actually believe they are going to go out in Wyoming or wherever they are and find this thing.
Well, Dana, we had a man on the show who said he had seen Bigfoot, who basically
shapeshifted
into a tree.
He's multidimensional. Duh. We know this.
And then you guys got mad at me when, after we finished the interview, I made fun of him.
Well, that's because we wanted to make fun of him too and felt bad.
Anyway, don't waste your time. But if you want to talk about Bigfoot, I'll entertain that. Just not going to go pitch a tent. Go looking for him.
We need to just move your acupuncture to Saturdays.
Okay. Anyway, regarding Bigfoot, it is one small step for man and an even smaller step for Bigfoot. A new bill in California state legislature seeks to recognize the elusive Bigfoot as the state's official cryptid. Now, a cryptid, I had to look it up. A cryptid is a creature that people believe exists but has not been proven to exist.
Like the Loch Ness Monster.
Right. The legislation proposed by Assemblymember Chris Roger would designate Bigfoot as an official mascot of the Golden State, which has been a hotbed of Sasquatch sightings since the late 1950s.
Right. Does Chris not realize that entire state was on fire a couple of weeks ago, and there are far more pressing needs in that state than something like this?
Plus, if it were going to be a cryptid, it has to be fake. We all know Bigfoot's real.
No. It is a creature that people believe exists, but has not been proven to do so. Like the Loch Ness Monster.
Chupacabra.
Chupacabra.
I want that to be Kansas's.
So the other ones are West Virginia's Mothman, the New Jersey Devil, and La Chupacabra.
Okay.
913-586-7798. Dana Wright, Sam Stevie III. My name is Scott here on KMBZ.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
All right, so we have an update out of L.A. regarding the Menendez brothers case. Sam, if you would, please.
Yes. Just moments ago from the Associated Press, the Los Angeles district attorney is set to give an update this afternoon on the case of Lyle and Eric Menendez. That is literally all of the detail that we have got.
There's no time.
There is not a what are they going to be saying, what is expected. Just there's going to be an update. Stay tuned.
Okay, if it is allowed, or check that, if it is able, check that again. Golly. If we are able to bring it to you live, we will here on Dana and Parks.
All we know is it is Friday afternoon, and I guarantee you CNN piggybacks on that.
And keep in mind, they are 2 hours behind us, so if they do it at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, it'll be 7 o'clock here. The show will be long over.
Why can't it always just be the same time everywhere?
Did you hear Dan laughing out in the newsroom?
Yes,
she said,
confusing.
Why can't it be the same time everywhere?
Well, because first, the Earth would have to be flat.
True. And
we're not going there today. Let's throw that conspiracy theory right on the fire.
The sun, we rotate around the sun. And so when it's.
Right. Okay. Speaking of crime, you know, you can run, you cannot hide. You also cannot hide from Dana's insistence that all of these cases should be plugged into a genealogy database, and here's why. A 5-year-old walking to school was kidnapped and murdered in 1982 in California. Okay. 1982. What, Scott? We would have been in, third grade or something?
I would have been 11, so I would have been in fourth grade.
Man has pleaded guilty. You know why?
Assuming DNA.
DNA finally caught up to that sad, sorry waste of oxygen. And here is the story from the Kansas City Star. 5-year-old Ann Pham assured her mother that she could walk to her California elementary school alone in 1982. She used to walk every day with mom or her brother. And then one day she said, I can do this by myself. She never made it to her kindergarten class. It was January 21st, 1982. 2 days later, they found her remains at an old Fort Ord Army base. A 23-year-old brother telling the Mercury Peninsula Herald, we are bitter and very, very sad. We hope the government will help us find out what really happened to her. But we didn't. For decades, there were no answers. Until today. Her slaying went unsolved until DNA evidence helped crack this case, leading to the arrest of a now 72-year-old man Robert John Leneau of Nevada. Okay? He is now 72.
With these
cases, I always ask, okay, Robert, between age 37 and age 72, how many more people did he kill or rape or strangle? You've got to start looking now. Where did this man live? Because I truly believe you don't just wake up one morning and think, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to strangle and murder a 5-year-old on her way to school.
I checked that he would have been 29 at the time.
Yeah, so he can rot in hell. He's 72. Here's the deal. In 2009, God bless him, Seaside Police Chief Nick Borges came across this case file. You know, keep in mind, most of the cops would have been children when this happened.
If they were even born. Yeah.
In 2009, then Chief Borges came through all of the old files looking for unsolved cases and ran across this file. He'd never even heard of the case. Disgusted by the state of the evidence in that case, he vowed to do something. In 2020, the DA's office came to him and said, hey, we are looking for cases that are extremely complex and sensitive. Without hesitation, I said Annie. Investigators with the DA's office and Seaside Police then reopened that case, set their sights on DNA testing. A single hair found on her body that, thank God, they had preserved and kept in that evidence room went into a genetic genealogical database.
Hmm.
And here we are again. A profile was created. They identified Leneau as a possible suspect. From there, they went out and got his DNA. Lo and behold, it matches. Boom. He's 72 and will never see the light of day again.
Good, nor should he.
I ask you again, why are we not doing this with every unsolved child murder, rape? And I know we can't do all the murders. There are lots of unsolved murders. But in a case like that, that is so vile, where you know the person who did that to a 5-year-old is going to go out and reoffend, why are we not putting all of those to the very front of the pile and throwing that evidence into a database?
Okay, so from 1965 to 2021, all right?
Yep.
There have been 340,000
okay.
unsolved murders in the United States.
Okay, 340,000. Give me a pen. What you do is you take that number, because it's not 340,000.
That's what it says.
I know. You take all of those cases within 340,000 where there is a known suspect and witnesses won't cooperate. Okay? They're not 340,000. We have zero idea who did this. The stranger danger,
you don't even,
rape and murder of a child.
But Danny, you don't even need to take the suspects that we think may have done it or might have been involved. All you need to do is take the 340,000, okay? If there's DNA evidence that was preserved from any of those scenes, you run that DNA into the database.
And then how do you rank those cases in importance from there? I would argue the rape and murder of a 5-year-old goes first.
Well, I just think you just make a pile and just start grabbing one out.
Who's going to pay for it?
The taxpayer would pay for it, and it's very expensive.
But Sam, of all of the things, if you ask taxpayers, like, what is important to you? And potholes is going to be on the list, I get that. But when it comes to crime, what is important to you? If you explain it through the lens that someone who did this horrible thing way back in 1982,
right.
It's not just Annie that was taken from this earth at age 5. Statistically, in the worst of the worst cases, there are going to be so many other victims out there.
But I would.
You're not going to solve one crime. You're going to solve 40.
I would make this argument, though. If you were to put it to the taxpayer, and we shouldn't, but the argument could be made, don't waste your money. And I say this carefully and trying to be sympathetic. Don't waste your money on the murder, the tragic, awful murder of a 5-year-old in 1982, when chances are pretty high that person is either elderly or dead.
Ooh.
Go back and start solving the most recent ones with the DNA evidence.
Knowing that you are saving the victims of tomorrow.
Getting a current killer off the street. Hang on just a second, Sam, if you would. The 72-year-old, if he's still even alive, okay, who killed sweet 5-year-old Annie, he's highly unlikely to kill again at his advanced age, where the guy who killed somebody 3 years ago might kill again because they're still young. They're still angry. They might be in a gang. I think that's what people would want.
Criminal DNA analysis, depending on size of sample, number of samples, and the quality of the sample, is it a hair or a vial of blood, ranges anywhere from $5,000 to $50,000. Let's, you know, shot in the dark in the middle, we'll call it $30,000 per, right?
Okay.
Multiply that times 50,000 cases, you're at $1.5 billion.
But there has to be a federal dump of money that would be available just for this. Like, but if you said to me, you know, I hate big government, we don't need any more government, I would champion a department that just did this all day long.
That's just for the cost of the analysis. That doesn't include the cost of hiring somebody to go through the cases, see which ones have DNA evidence, which ones don't. At the end of the day, the reason that we don't do this is money.
This is going to make you cry. The day that charges were announced against that evil person,
he died.
Borges told his team, the lead detective, we are going to take Annie to school today. The team loaded a large cardboard photo of her in their car, and they headed to her elementary school, which still stands. She didn't make it to school that day, he said. But the day this case was filed, the day a suspect was arrested, she did. And look
nice
at
touch.
That photo. My God, it gives me chills. Mm. It's all of the officers that worked on the case.
By the way,
holding her photo in front of her school.
Most of them look like they were not even born.
Oh, no. They all look like they're in their
30s. Yeah. Maybe early 40s.
Maybe. And by the way, this guy was never on the radar, ever.
See,
this was the lone wolf, suspect in the dark, boogeyman that grabs the woman off the street. He was totally hidden in plain view right there. By the way, he was in the Army, stationed at Fort Ord, and lived 0.1 miles away from Annie's home.
So you asked earlier, how do you, and which cases go to the top, which cases go to the bottom? Here are the cases that go to the top. Because if somebody is shot to death in a drive-by shooting or something like that, it is highly unlikely there will be ballistics evidence, but there won't be DNA evidence. I say the ones that go to the top immediately are the ones where we have DNA evidence, whether it's in 1965 or 2021. If we have DNA evidence, those are the ones that get priority because those are the ones that will be the easiest to solve.
He has since admitted that he has a history of assaulting young girls and in another case pleaded guilty to first-degree murder, kidnapping, and committing awful acts on another child under 14. So
he already in prison?
He is scheduled in this to get another 50 years. Yeah, but, you know, to your point, Scott, Annie is not going to be the sole victim. I bet you there's 50 of them.
Didn't you just say he's already been convicted of a murder?
Was, and I don't know if he was in or out of prison after that or not, because so much time has passed.
Yeah.
But my point is, those types of offenders, that is not a one and done. No. It's just not.
You're absolutely right. 913-586-7798. 913-586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. We're talking about the case out of California near Fort Ord, California. The murder of a five-year-old girl, which has been solved. It was in 1982. It has been solved through DNA evidence.
One hair.
72-year-old man, still alive, under arrest. He has a history of doing this, by the way. Lynn in Leawood. Lynn, hello.
Hi. I had an idea that maybe we could be creative and have part of the training for our police cadets be that they go through these backlog of cases and look for the best possible ones that we can get closure on. And it's funded by putting a little box on my tax return that says, will you donate $5 to the Unsolved Crimes of Children DNA program? And I'll check that box, and so will a lot of other people. And then that will fund a whole group of people working on this, because these families deserve closure, and these children and adults deserve respect.
Lynn, thank you for the call. And when I talked about your 340,000 number, Scott, of those unsolved murders,
yeah.
I don't want to, you know, rank how bad is this murder versus that murder. That's not what I was trying to do. What I'm saying is within that 340,000, a large majority of those cases are probably gun homicides where there is a known offender. Drug-related crime where there is a known offender. I'm not saying those aren't important and we don't try to solve those.
Those would be the hardest ones to solve.
I'm saying those go to the back of the line, and the cases involving sex assault, young girls, children, those have to go to the front of the line because we know those offenders are out there reoffending.
And there's DNA evidence to go with it, which what I was trying to suggest in the last segment is go with the easiest ones to solve first. And those would be the ones where there is DNA evidence that was left at the scene, whether it was through a sexual assault or a physical struggle, like a strangling or something like that, or where the victim, there was DNA found under his or her fingernail. And those would be, I would argue, the easiest to solve. You get that DNA, whether it's from 1965 or 2021, you get that DNA, put that into the database, and then see if there's a match out there somewhere. And now, would we solve 100,000 murders, 50,000 murders? I don't know. But who really cares?
The question becomes, how many of those murders do you stop?
That's why I made the argument. Yeah. You start with the you know, this database is from 1965 to 2021, where it says nearly 340,000 homicides are unsolved. There's another one that says from 65 to 2023, there are 346,000, which means in that two-year period, by the way, from 2021 to 2023, there were 6,000 unsolved homicides in the United States. 6,000 unsolved in 2 years.
But how many of those do they know it was the wife that killed the husband and they just can't prove it yet? They haven't cleared it yet. And all I'm suggesting
is because they didn't have DNA then.
There's going to be a large number of those cases that would not, if you had to rank, you know, where are we going to put our time and our resources? Those cases would probably not be at the top of the list is all I'm saying. I mean, they're not important.
Well, I don't know. I don't know that I agree with that, because if let's say that we have a case from 2017 where a husband was murdered by his wife.
Okay.
If there is DNA evidence, that would be a very simple one to solve. All you have to do is follow her.
But you don't necessarily have the imminent risk to the public that she is some homicidal maniac that is going to go around killing other people.
That's fair.
The way you do with the guy that snatches a five-year-old off the street.
I do love Lynn's idea of having an entirely separate fund just for this effort, because that's the only way that it's going to get done.
Hell, name it after Annie in California.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look at that sweet face, Scott. My God.
I know.
One of the last lines in this story, let me find it from the detective. This is so heartbreaking, but bittersweet. He says, he's talking to Annie, by the way. He says, your picture was once very conflicting for me. I could not tell if you were smiling at me or asking for help.
Mm.
Today, your picture is so clear to me. I see your beautiful little smile. We can all see it now. You are finally at peace. Rest well. It is all done, sweetheart.
Oh, that's very nice. Very well said. Somebody says, why is DNA testing still so expensive? Well, number one, it's time consuming. It's not the easiest thing in the world to do, but it's not the hardest either. But you're talking about manpower, women power, that goes into all of this testing that otherwise could or would be used somewhere else. And there's another thing that we need to take into account. If a detective, you know, this is police chief in a relatively small town in California, who thought, you know, I'm going to go through some old files and grab an old murder and see if we can't solve it. Well, that's a full-time job. And so if cities are going to take detectives basically off the street to solve cold cases, then there are current cases that those detectives are not working.
Are not working, sure.
And you have to take that into account. Do you want to solve the murder that happened this morning at 8 o'clock? Or do you want to solve a murder from 1982?
And find me one police department in the entire country that's going to say, oh, yeah, we've got extra resources. Yeah,
we have so many detectives here that just sit around and do nothing but drink coffee and eat donuts. We're going to put them on the cold case file.
Our guys are bored.
And so, I mean, like, let's take Kansas City, for example, where there is already a shortage of police officers. And I'm not trying to poo-poo the idea. Please understand. of solving cold cases. But when you have a police department in a major city like Kansas City that is already short-staffed regarding its number of officers and detectives, it would be a hard sell to tell the public, well, the reason we didn't solve that murder is because, you know, the detectives are working on an old case from 1985, and we're going to try to solve that 40-year-old murder. And then once they get that one done, then we're going to put them on the case from 8 o'clock this morning. It's just not going to work.
Not even that. Sorry, guys. We're not going to come help you out with your stolen car because our officers are back at the department going through old files.
Yeah, but I would prefer that be prioritized in that way anyway. I'm sorry you got your car stolen. Go to Stolen KC on Facebook. They have more luck there getting everything back. They have the resources and the time to put the stuff out there that our officers don't always have.
913-586-7798. We have Festivus Friday coming your way right after the 5 o'clock news. That is brought to you by Q39. Get your Q fix today at Q39KC.com.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.